Om Shanti. Good morning. Baba has remembered us all with a lot of love and has a little complaint about us. Baba says, you say you're going to stay with me forever and you'll go home with me and then you leave me alone in the home. Very sweet comment from Baba. But yes, of course, Baba's not alone in our home. There's other billions of souls. But the souls that he has a deep connection with, the ones who've loved him and surrendered to him, are the ones he loves also. So it's a Murali of Shivratri. And of course, Baba gives children a lot of love when it's a birthday. And so Baba giving us love, all of us giving Baba love. And in those days, we would create a little excuse. This is 97. So we would create a little excuse to not just walk in front of Baba in a line to take drishti, but to give something. And the something would be sometimes very beautiful, sometimes exquisite, sometimes it would be just a little paper thing. But it was a reason to stop for a moment in front of Baba and put something on the table, and Baba would see it and acknowledge it. And of course, people would also send little things from abroad, because whoever was going to Madhuban, we would send a little gift or something, something, something. And Baba said, there's a museum of love in the subtle region, and you don't have a museum like that in your world. Is there a museum of love in the way that Baba has in the subtle region? And so it's a lovely expression of love that Baba was sharing. And you'll hear the full Murali, of course. But Baba has love and law. And when Baba's telling us what the law is, even that is actually part of the love. Because Baba wants us to become complete and perfect. Baba doesn't want any child to be left behind. It's an expression that people use in the Laukik world today, not to leave anyone behind. But of course, 75% of the world has already been left behind, and nobody's doing anything about bringing them up to equality or equity. But Baba truly, truly wants every single child to become a king, a ruler, and to claim the full inheritance. And so Baba's asked for a gift. Can you imagine God asking for something? God is everything. He gives us everything. And our treasure store gets filled for the whole cycle. And so what is it that Baba's asking for? Something that would help us move forward. Nothing for himself, but something for us. And the gift that Baba wants today is whatever is waste. Baba is saying that most negativity in its gross form has finished, but there's still a lot of waste. And although Baba said this in 97, I'm just thinking that it's still absolutely applicable today. Yes, some souls have moved on and become karmatit and angels, but the vast majority, and especially those who haven't heard these muralis, are hearing them for the first time. But the gift that Baba wants from us is for our benefit. It's nothing that God wants, and where is God going to keep all the rubbish that we give him anyway? It's going to be finished in the fire of Kali Yuga, and that's the end of it. But Baba wants us to give our waste thinking, our waste speaking, and waste doing. So in fact it's three gifts, but Baba's putting it under one canopy, waste. To what extent is Baba just sharing love with us when he says that mostly negativity has finished? And so there are some who are still struggling with negativity. But for the most part, is it Baba's expression of love or is it a reality? And again, each one has to look at their own mirror of the heart and see what is there. Daddy Janki used to say that when I hear the Murali is my mirror. I check it to see what is Baba saying and what am I doing? Where have I come to? And so looking at the mirror of the Murali, I can see whether I've moved beyond that stage of negativity. And not just sometimes. One of Baba's favorite words is sadam, always, always. So always free from negativity. Not just most of the time or sometimes, but all the time. And then the waste. If you think about the terms we use for angels, the feet of the angel doesn't touch the ground, or that the angels are light and so they're able to fly. The angels are God's messengers and so they're able to give the message of God's love. They're able to give the message of peace. And Baba has told us that all of us are the angels. When it comes to deities, it's 8 or 108. And yes, Baba said that instead of 108, if all of you truly become conquerors of Maya, a necklace can have not just one strand, two strands, three strands, five strands even. And so Baba can create extra strands. But certainly when it comes to angels, there's never any specific figure. There's a few archangels, but apart from those few archangels, and we can see that that's the Dadis, but there's a host of angels, many, many angels. And so it's a beautiful memorial of Sangam Yug, when at the end of the cycle, all of Baba's children become angels and fly. But if I want to experience the angelic stage today, then the key word is light. To stay in the awareness of the soul, a being of light. And when I practice yoga, to experiment, not just with going home. Going home, I can take on my costume. I can leave behind my costume here and just be the soul. But when I come back from Paramdham down here, instead of coming straight from Paramdham here, Sangam Yug has a special gift for us, which won't happen through the rest of the cycle, not even Satyug. We can take a stop along the way in the subtle region. And so go to Paramdham and then come down to the subtle region and take on your costume of light. And then you don't have to leave that behind. You can bring that costume of light down here with yourself and use that costume of light more and more. You can visualize it. Baba has said that there's a shining dress waiting for you in the subtle region. Sparkling dress. And so why do I want to come down to a dress made of the five elements, made of earth and mud and everything that's heavy? And so let me take that sparkling costume and be down here. But to be light, not just thinking about the form of light in Paramdham or the form of light in the subtle region. To truly be light, I need to have my thoughts very, very light. Nothing that's going to pull me down here. And waste thoughts start with two words. If you think about so many muralis that we've been hearing recently, one of the key words that Baba told us last week, which is the cause of waste thoughts, two words, I and my. Have you checked it out? We hear Baba say something, and then I can experiment with some of the things. And some of the things that Baba's saying, don't do. There's things that Baba's telling us to do. I have to experiment with that. And there are things that Baba's saying, don't do. And one of the big don't do's is, don't have waste thoughts. And so, what is the cause of waste thoughts? And anything can be a trigger. A thousand things can be a trigger for waste thoughts. The Baba said, remember two words and you'll realize that all waste thoughts are connected with these two. I and my. And you can convert these. Instead of I this. And instead of my this and everything here, my Baba. Mera Baba. The daddies used to make us repeat, Mera Baba, Meeta Baba, Pyara Baba. And although I'm speaking Hindi, I think everybody knows, my Baba, sweet Baba, beloved Baba. And we used to repeat the words, but for the daddies it was their life, truly, nothing but God. My Baba. Not just God far away, but God absolutely belonging to me and I belonging to God. And so these two words, I and my, Baba said they create a storm of waste thoughts. When you're churning spiritual teachings, the thoughts come slowly. Have you noticed? You have to consciously create the thoughts. Okay, now I'm with Baba. What are my relationships with Baba? What is the cycle? Whichever topic it is you take up, but the thoughts will come slow and steady. They won't come as a storm. But when it's waste thoughts, one little thought, why or how or if or but, and that one little thought opens the door, and there's a storm of thoughts that rush in. And so instead of, Baba used an interesting expression, the time that you have in silence, not just when you sit down for yoga, but when you're walking, maybe it's a time for silence. When you're peeling potatoes, maybe it's a time for silence. Whatever it is you're doing that doesn't require your intellect to be absorbed in that. And there's a lot of things through the day. 60%, 70%. All the things that happen through the whole day. I'm not using my buddhi, my intellect for those things. And so can I use my mind for accumulating Baba's love, Baba's power, Baba's purity, whatever it is I choose. So I was just use that simple expression, time that could be used for accumulation. You're wasting that time in thoughts that are taking you just round in a circle and not leading anywhere. Because when the question why comes, there'll be another why, another why. Some of you still have little children, and little children start asking questions, why? You give them an answer, another why, another why. So internally, when we're complaining about something and we're asking God the question why, then I'm not waiting for God to give me an answer. I've got another question ready. Why? Why this? And they all stem from this consciousness which is pulling me down and causing me to have all this waste. Waste is heavy. Have you noticed? Waste is heavy. You're shelling peas and weigh the peas just on their own and weigh the shell of the peas and the waste. It's heavy. The peas is not so much. And that applies to my thoughts also. The pure thoughts, the good thoughts, the thoughts that are going to be uplifting for me and be invaluable through my experience of helping others and uplifting them also, they're very light. But the waste thoughts are pulling me down. And I don't have to work very hard to stop the waste. Again, God's love for us, and Baba tells us, Baba doesn't like to see his children labor. Don't have to work hard. Use the simple alternatives that God has given. Instead of this I, which again is heavy, come back to this I, which is totally weightless. And so coming back to this I, and looking at the same situation from this perspective, and it'll be very easy to change your thinking. This I, and I'm stuck. I'm really, really stuck down here. But this I, and I look at things from here, and it's going to look very different. And so it makes life very simple, very easy. I don't have to struggle with all the other thousands of things that keep happening. Why is this one like this? Why is that one like this? Can I change someone? I can't. And so, what can I do? I can change my thinking about them, about a situation, about drama, whatever it is. And so, I. And the other, my. Baba's asking us to sacrifice this. It's a morally that's connected with Shivratri. And those of you who were into bhakti will remember that usually at Shivratri, people spend the night awake, a lot of tapasya. But also, they think about something they can offer as a sacrifice to God. And even in bhakti, you don't think about something nice that you can give to God. You think about what it is you want to get rid of. You want to get rid of your anger, you want to get rid of your jealousy, whatever. And so can I get rid of something in bhakti? Yes, if I have the determined thought and I have that love for God and I truly want to sacrifice something, I'll do it. And so now in this case, when I know God and I've experienced God's love, then can I not make this sacrifice of actually giving up my waste thoughts? Because starting with the thinking, then of course it's the speaking and the doing. And the speaking, it's a reaction that we have. Somebody says something and I react without actually pausing to ask myself the question, is it useful to say something now? I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at just what's going on inside and I'm reacting. And so to remember, take a pause, come back here, and then to just think about what is it that will be useful here. How many times have you said, I could bite my tongue off for having said this, that or the other? But the arrow has left the bow, and the arrow has hit the other one. and you can't take it back. The arrow has gone and the wound has been created. And how long will it take to repair that wound? 6 months? At least. If somebody's been hurt by my words, it's going to take minimum 6 months before they forget. But in fact, sometimes they never forget. 10 years later, they still tell you about it, that you said this and caused me a lot of pain. And even as they start telling you now, their face changes and you can see the sorrow come over their face again. And so sometimes wounds just can't be healed if they've hit the heart deeply. And so can I stop my reactivity? One of the reasons why we react so quickly is because we've always put value on high speed. At the end of Kali Yuga, it wasn't so before, but cooking was slow. You would put it in the earthenware pot and leave it on a fire, and of course you didn't have gas to switch on, switch off, so you could just leave it, and a few hours later the dal would be ready. And dal cooked slowly in an earthenware pot is very different to dal cooked in a steel pressure cooker. It tastes different. So whether it's slow cooking or just reflecting and slow speaking and slow thinking. Somebody who's here from India visiting said to me, I can't understand when people are speaking English. I thought I could understand English, but I'm not understanding them. I said, why? And she said, they're speaking too quickly. And so we speak too fast, we think too fast, and we want to react quickly. You know, a car that has high speed, a computer that has high speed, it's more expensive, so we put high value on speed. And Baba's saying, slow down. Go the other way. Slow down your thoughts. Why? So that in between the pure thoughts, in that space of silence, you experience it. Say Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. You're not Om Shanti. Say Om Shanti. And you don't have to say it out loud, but just take it slowly and you will feel the Om Shanti. So reactivity is because we want to quickly react without thinking. And so I was saying, well, pause, take a moment. We had a group of people meeting together at Oxford, and Maureen is going to share more news about that in a few minutes. But one of the things that they said was, in the atmosphere of stillness in Oxford, they were able to go into subjects more deeply in a shorter space of time than they would have otherwise. And one of the things that they appreciated was the traffic control. And those who've been to Oxford recently, well, since June, recently, they started a new system there in June. You know, everything's electronic and is on a timer. The traffic controls we have here, I think, are timed for 1 or 2 minutes. The traffic control timer there is a longer one, about 4 minutes, 3-4 minutes. And so you'd start going into the silence, the traffic control, and it would last. And so it gave you a chance to go even deeper. And so Baba's created different techniques for us to incorporate silence within our day-to-day work and activity. And so if we use those little techniques that Baba has taught us, in the best way possible, take advantage of those, then just those things make a difference. In Oxford, because the house had been vacant for so many years with the renovation, they decided that while trying to fit an extra half hour here or extra 15 minutes there, it wasn't working for everyone. People wanted different timings according to their duties. And so they decided, well, everybody stops for traffic control, so you make the traffic control longer. And if you're at home or at work and you want to make your personal traffic control longer, well, you can do that. But the whole point is that, can I bring more and more experimentation of what Baba's saying into my life so that I'm able to benefit from the days of Sangam Yuga? And if I can experience the lightness in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions, then my connection with God is going to be stronger. Heaviness, and Baba is giving me love and power, but I'm not connecting. And so my lightness allows me to come closer to Baba and take more benefit from Baba, even if it's just in the 3-4 minutes of traffic control or whatever it may be. And so the checking, at what point is there this I, and at what point is there this I. And then the my is going to follow on very easily, because the biggest my is this. And just think about it, connected with this my is everything here, everything there, people, possessions, everything. But if I can learn this one aspect of detachment, and when people sometimes say that detachment causes other sorrow, no, Baba's not telling us detach, cut. Baba's saying internally be detached from this. Then it's going to work very easily on the external level also. If I say, no, you're not my child, well, in this world, in this birth, it is my responsibility. God has given this child to me. Yes, the child belongs to God, but it's my duty to take care of the child spiritually, emotionally, physically, on all levels. And so the detachment from the body is the biggest detachment of all, which is why within every single Murali, Baba reminds us not only of who is God, but who am I. To know God is easy, because God tells us who He is. He explains who He is. But how long does it take to know yourself? It's a journey. And definitely for me, I think about, and I think it might have been when I was 60, 65, when I deeply understood some of my sanskars. So it's a long journey, and we don't have 60, 65 years now. But if I want to go deeper and deeper into myself, and I put that as a priority in my life, to truly know myself in terms of all the good that I carry, but also all the things that are not so good that I carry, I need to be able to understand both. And so working on this aspect of silence and not saying, I'm not going to do my duties because I want silence. Cut yourself off from service and sit in silence. And how much silence do you genuinely experience? The mind isn't silent. The mind is still racing. And in fact, when anybody had Maya, Mama would say to them, go clean the bathroom cobwebs. Do something. Get into action. Something that's going to be of benefit for others. So, let me do what I need to do, but in this awareness and in silence. While I'm doing other things, a silent mind means closeness to God. A silent mind means I can understand myself deeply. So today's Murali, that was asking us for a gift. Then you can decide when you hear the full Murali whether you're ready to give that gift or not. Om Shanti.